It's good to see you all this morning. I want to invite you to come back tonight. The night study will be on a parable I hadn't developed before and preached on, parable of the unprofitable servant. Look forward to that study and sharing that with you tonight. I did also forget to mention during the announcements that on Tuesday evening, Andrea Higdon was baptized into Christ. And she became a disciple of the Lord. And so we certainly rejoice with the angels in heaven for her joining the Lord's church. She wanted to do it Tuesday night, not wait till Wednesday. You know, because she knew the immediacy that you need to be ready when you are ready to meet the Lord. And so she wanted to make sure she did it that night. That, in conjunction with our Bible class and 2 Peter, made me think about doing a lesson called Like a Thief in the Night. In Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15, there Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Two times, actually, in the book of Revelation, the Lord speaks about coming as a thief in the night. What is a thief coming in the night like? Could you imagine for a moment that you're broken into? In the night. The dead of night. You hear some rustling. If it'd be at my house, I'd be thinking the kids are probably getting up out of bed, right? So they're knocking some things over. Maybe that's probably most like what it is. But for some of you that live alone, it would be an unmistakable noise. That should not be there. That should not be happening. And as soon as you hear the crash of a window shattering, you know for sure what is taking place. And the thunder shock that would go through your heart to feel that moment, to recognize that you're being broken into like a thief in the night. The Bible speaks about unexpected things that take place in life. And we realize that there's sometimes there are good things that take place to us in life that are unexpected, right? You maybe find a $20 bill in the middle of nowhere. But we usually don't look at that and say, "Wow, that was like a thief in the night." Right? We usually use that phrase to describe things that would take place to us that are unexpected, but that also could be injurious or hazardous to our lives, destructive or catastrophic to our lives. The question we must ask today is, are we prepared to meet the Lord? Because if not, it will be the most catastrophic event in your entire existence. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 14, verse 11 and verse 12. Romans 14 and verse 11 and verse 12. It says, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us," that doesn't leave anybody out, "so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." The wise man in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing." There are many unexpected things that can happen to us in life, but if we're prepared to meet the Lord, then it'll be all right in the end. And that was God's desire for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where the thief in the night analogy is used once again. He says in verse 4, writing to Christians, 1 Thessalonians 5, 4, he says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." Could that be said of us? See, the only protection we really have against a thief is to be ready at all times. And so the Bible, by using this phrase, is expressing to us that believers are always to be ready. We're always to be ready. So I want to share with you three reasons why we should always be ready. First off, believers are always to be ready because bad events can happen to us unexpectedly. The Bible affirms that in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, notice verse 14. In Ecclesiastes 7 there in verse 14. Here the record says, "In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other so that man can find out nothing that will come after him." God has allowed us to have life, and in that life it's made up of days of goodness, but also days of adversity. And Ecclesiastes goes on to say that so that man can find out nothing will come after him. You can't just say, well, I've had 15 good days, so therefore one bad is coming, or 15 bad, therefore one as good is coming. It's not written that way. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, here he says, "I returned and saw that under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong." Now, most of the time, the race is to the swift and the battle to the greatest army. But not always, is what he's saying. "Nor bread to the wise, nor richest of men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all." That we are in this life, and sometimes things take place that just happen. Bad things can happen in life. Discouraging, negative events can take place in our lives. Jesus spoke of that reality in Luke chapter 13. In Luke chapter 13, when he was talking about some tragedies that took place, in Luke 13, 1, it talks about the Galileans who Pilate had slaughtered and then mingled their blood with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered the thought, maybe they were really bad people. That's why that happened to them. Well, Jesus said, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than other Galileans because they suffered such things?" Jesus says, "I tell you, no, you're absolutely wrong. That's not the case. Time and chance happens to them all." He says, "But unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish." Or verse 4, "Those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them." So you had a building slide and fall and crash and killed people. Do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? Jesus says, "I tell you, no." See, sometimes bad events can happen unexpectedly. It may be a car wreck, or the loss of a loved one. It could be a loss of a job, or a disease found. Maybe a sick child. It could be something as some unkind word spoken to you at work that you never saw coming. Why would my boss say that about me? Where did that come from? It could be depression that strikes you in your life, begins to grow its gloom over your prospects in life. Could be a lack of food or clothing. The Bible says that we must come to terms with it. These things can come to us and we don't expect it. Life is not planned out like a book where you can flip ahead and see what's going to come. So my kids often do, I'll read stories to them at night, and a lot of times they pick the book up and flip to the last page and read the last paragraph. You can't do that with life. Sadly, there's been school shootings, and people talk about the unmistakable sound, the pop, 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 pop. They never thought they'd hear that. Even in Nashville, close to Nashville, there's been church shootings. And you know one thing that's common with all those people that are interviewed? They say, "I never thought it could happen here." It's unexpected. In Job chapter 1, we read of a man who was a good man. The Bible says in Job 1:1, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil." And so you think nothing bad can come his way, and yet the whole book goes on to tell us that that's not so. Those of us that are familiar with the story recognize in time Satan comes to tempt. And he tells God, does Job fear God for nothing in verse 9? So God allows Satan to test Job. And you know how it describes the beginning process of all that? Verse 13, now there was a day. Nothing different than any other day. It was just a day. Another day just came. Then there was a day. And little did Job know that it was going to be one of the worst days of his entire life. That he loses practically everything, or so he thinks. Because Job passes the test, worships God, does not curse God as Satan had hoped. And then we learn in chapter 2 that the Bible starts off again in verse 1. Again, there was a day. And things go from bad to worse. Again, there was a day. You know, with Abraham, there was a day. In Genesis chapter 22, the words that he never, ever, ever imagined he'd hear from God, he heard. In Genesis 22, it says that it came to pass, just came to pass, that after these things, God tested Abraham and said, Abraham, here. And Abraham said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall tell you. It just came to pass one day. Totally unexpected, it took place. Jesus shares a series of parables in Luke chapter 15 of a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And all of those parables stick because people recognize that that happens in reality. That one day someone just loses unexpectedly a sheep. Or someone may lose a coin. Or a family lose a son. See, life should teach us that it's not if bad things will happen to us, but when. And when they do, the question comes to us, how will we handle them? God can build a hedge around you like He did for Job, but then He can allow the devil to tear it down. Will you curse God then? Or will you stand firm as Job? You see, it's really easy to love Him and worship Him during the days of prosperity, but what are the days of struggle? What are the days of adversity? What are the days of calamity? You know, God's there in both of them. Ecclesiastes 7:14 we read, the day of adversity, the day of prosperity. Surely God has appointed one as the other. Are you ready? Bad things can happen. Like a thief in the night, and our wishing them away doesn't stop its reality. A believer must always be ready at all times because people can die unexpectedly. The Bible is very clear about that as well. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed for man once to die, and then the judgment. In James chapter 4, James, the fourth chapter, verse 13, James shares these words. He says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. And he starts off the phrase by saying, come now, you who say. As if, do you recognize how foolish these words are? Why are they foolish? Verse 14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We've all seen the fog settle on the land in the morning. And somewhere between morning and afternoon, it vanishes away. It's gone. I mean, it just disappeared. And he says, your life's like a vapor. Here 1 minute, and just a few minutes later, it's gone. We can die unexpectedly. Job recognized this truth, as he said in Job 14, describing the brevity of life. Job 14, there, notice the following verses, 1 and 2. He says, man who is born of a woman is of few days. and full of trouble. See, bad things can happen unexpectedly, even in those days. Now, verse 2, he says, he comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. He purposely draws the comparison of life to not things that are fixed in nature, but things that are temporary, things that are here just for a short moment, and then they go away. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, notice what is said here, verses 2 and following. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 2, it says, all things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked. You know what event he's talking about? The common denominator. 10 out of 10 die. Verse 3, there's an evil that is done under the sun. That one thing happens to them all. Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. Now, it's true that some people die because of their sins. That because of their sins, they die in their sins. You look at Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 23. Here you read of the fornicator, the one that was committing adultery, laying with another man's wife. And evidently, the man came home. And there in 7 and verse 22, we'll back up verse 22. Verse 21, let's do that. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Verse 22, immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost him his life. There's some that don't meet maybe the end of an arrow because of their adultery, but maybe it could be a sexually transmitted disease. They didn't go into that expecting that that would happen, and yet the unexpected took place. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, it says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler. Who's ever led astray by it is not wise. There's individuals that die due to drinking. They kill themselves from the inside out. Or maybe crash their car. There's some that are addicted to smoking. Some call that slow suicide. Killing yourself one puff at a time. So there's some that die because of their sins. But then there's some that die while just merely living their life, planning their life here. In Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, here you read of the Lord sharing a parable to describe such. One that just lived their life in this life, for this life in particular. In Luke 12, verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought with himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he says, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take up your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool! This night your soul will be required of you. Then who will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. The man thought he had many, many years, and God says you don't even have an extra day. This night your soul shall be required of you. You know, no one takes a ride in an ambulance prepared for it. They didn't wake up the day saying, I think I'm going to call 911 today and need some medical assistance, pronto, emergency. No one wakes up thinking that. And yet we've all heard the ambulance sirens before, haven't we? September 11th, 2001, 9/11. It happened like a thief in the night, wouldn't you say? And I can still remember, as if it was yesterday, those people that were trapped in the burning towers. Those above the fire. And as the fire continued to grow and climb the floors, and to see people choose either to die by the fire or to die by jumping. And those that made that choice, as their bodies dangled like rag dolls till they hit the bottom. They didn't think that's the way that day was going to go. And that same day, there was a phone calls that took place from Flight 93. By that time, there had already been 3 plane crashes. Those on the flight knew what was going to happen to the fourth. They said there was 26 phone calls that were made from the plane phones. A man named Todd Beamer spoke with his wife. They had planned that they were going to try their best to overtake the hijackers. The last words the wife heard on the phone was, "Okay, let's roll." Hours before that, Tom Beamer had kissed his wife goodbye. They were expecting their third child. No one could have expected what was about to take place a few hours later. As Flight 93 would fall to the ground. Are we prepared for the next life? People die unexpectedly. Have you been putting off what you know you need to do today for the next day? I know I should be doing that. I really should be working on this. I've already got some really good New Year's resolutions planned for the next year. If you know you need to do it now, why are you waiting? Do it now. Todd Beamer probably thought he had the next year too. Those in those towers thought they had another year too. They didn't even have tomorrow. People die unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. And last for this morning, the judgment day will come unexpectedly. Now that could be good or bad for you. It all just depends if you're ready or not, right? The Bible says this in a number of places that it is coming, but it will be unexpected. We looked at 2 Peter this morning. Turn with me to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, and notice what Jesus says here. Now, Matthew 24, Jesus had shared earlier about the destruction to come on Jerusalem. And he had talked about, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars in verse 6. And you'll see in verse 7, nation arise against nation. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrow. So he gives signs for the destruction of Jerusalem. But in terms of the destruction of the world, the last day of the world, he says in verse 36, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And he says, "As in the days of Noah were, so it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." But he goes on to make this illustration in verse 42. "Watch therefore," he says, "for you do not know the hour of the Lord your coming." Verse 43, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into." So that's what he's talking about. If he would have known, if he would have been phoned ahead of time, the thief's coming tonight, well, he would have been prepared. He'd been ready. But that's not the way thieves work. And that's not the way of the day of judgment works either. So he says, verse 44, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." If you're not a Christian, friend, you are not ready. You are not ready. And Jesus is saying, be ready. Be ready, because we don't know when the Son of Man is going to return to earth. But you know, in chapter 25, it begins to share something else, and that is that sometimes not every Christian is ready. Yes, people in the world obviously are not ready, but sometimes not even Christians are ready. And I believe that's the thrust of chapter 25 and verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. Now he turns his attention to the kingdom. The kingdom people likened to 10 virgins. What a way to describe God's people. Having their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. Sparkling white. Pure. Paul even talks about us being converted as chaste virgins. But then he describes among those that are virgins. He says, five of them are wise and five are foolish. See, not every Christian is going to be ready. He says that the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So he speaks to the reality of the kingdom itself and its subjects, that even some among them won't be ready. Are you ready? I mean, these would be people that knew. They knew the Lord, they knew He was coming, but they just weren't ready. Is that describing you? Those that stray, those that slide away, those that are lured to sleep, those that are lax, that are lazy, they're spiritually sleepy, and they've run out of oil in their lamps. They've not filled it up again with the ways of God. The actions of God, the Word of God. Nothing immoral in the text about them. They just were lacking oil. Does that describe you or me? When will we learn that all the glitter of earth is just temporary? All we accumulate is going to be left behind. All we build will wear out. All our earthly pursuits will end. Is it not therefore foolish then to put those earthly pursuits first? To put this earth first? Absolutely. And you read there in Matthew 24 of some of those that did that in the days of Noah. Verse 37. Verse 38, eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage. Again, nothing necessarily immoral about those things. It just shows their priority in life. What's for here? And verse 39 says, they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. It was unexpected. They didn't know because they weren't looking forward and being ready for such a day. They did not heed the preaching of Noah. They didn't listen. Can you imagine how it was for those people in that day? From what I understand from the Bible, hadn't seen rain yet. Imagine those first drops falling. What is that? And then shaking because the fountains of the deep are opened up. How scary that would be. And then just floods of water coming from all directions. Could you imagine a humongous tsunami wiping out millions? Can you see individuals crying and shrieking as all this is taking place? Can you see them climbing up the mountaintops in fear? Do you behold them struggling for existence among the devouring flood with no hope? Can you hear the last faint cries of the remaining strong swimmers before they're finally swallowed up by the flood? When will we learn all the glitter of the earth is temporary? What about in the end, like Sodom and Gomorrah? Can you see the dwellers of those cities as the first fiery hell begins to fall? I don't know what it was like. I wonder if perhaps there was smaller fragments that come first. Zip, zip, zip. Like bullets from the sky hitting various people that are in the streets. Then larger balls of fire hitting whole houses, igniting them in inferno. People running out of their huts and their homes, engulfed in flames, crying. Then the larger balls continue to descend and to hit, and you have whole blocks vaporized until finally there's just one dreadful sheet of flame that envelops the sky. All the cries, all the shrieks, all the tears in vain. What do you think of that scene of horror? Did any of them expect that in the morning? Not a one. In 2 Peter chapter 3, I take you now to where we left off in our Bible class. In chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." That's a reality. God says it's going to happen, and it's going to come unexpectedly. So verse 11 says, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be?" He's saying, look within and say, what kind of person should I be when that day comes? Am I that person now? And if not, I better become that person. I better get ready in holy conduct and godliness. You think God doesn't care about your works, your actions, your conduct? He says it right there. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct? Holy conduct. Is all your conduct holy? Is it in godliness? That means God-like. He's asking us to be like this. Verse 14, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent." Not be slothful. Not be lukewarm. Not be half-hearted. Not be mostly all the way. Be diligent to be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. So are you ready? Does that describe you or does that describe me? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Because in like manner Christ shall return one day, like a thief in the night. Now if you're not a Christian, you're not ready, you've not obeyed the plan of salvation, you need to confess your faith in Christ if you haven't. You need to be willing to repent of your sins, for you do have them. Forsake them, that means. And you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you become a child of God. Like Andrea was on Tuesday. Without delay, she's now ready. Are you ready? Maybe the foolish versions describe you. You are a Christian, but you're not ready. Maybe you've fallen into sin. Maybe there is immorality in your life. Or maybe you've just become lax and lazy and lukewarm. Then you're not ready. And the Bible says you need to repent. Confess your trespasses unto Him, and He'll be faithful and just to forgive you. Be ready. Because the unexpected happens in life, doesn't it? Life is like a thief in the night. Life is like a distracted driver in the day. Life is like a drunk driver in the night. Life is like cancer found in a routine checkup. Life is like that terrible phone call in the middle of the night. Life is like the final trumpet blowing. Maybe even tonight, during church services, when we're here gathered together. Are you ready? Are you ready? If death should call your sweet name. That's really the message of the Bible. Is to be ready, isn't it? We've all been to a funeral before. We've seen the body in the casket. We've all walked before it and said our final goodbyes to the individual that lies there. You know what separates you from them? There's just one thing. Put your hand right here. You feel that? That's it. It's your heart beating. That's it. One day, all of our hearts stop. Are you ready when that day comes for you? Are you ready? What would the preacher say at your funeral? If I'm that preacher, what would I say? All I know is what you've shown me. The truth is, that will be the least of your concern then. It'll only matter what God says about your faith and your works. And at that moment, when you die, you'll know exactly what God thinks. Are you ready? Are you prepared? If not, get ready and get ready now, dear friends. Because the day is coming when you won't have a chance to. There may be some here this morning that are not ready. Get ready while you still have a chance. Because the Bible makes it pretty clear, life is like a thief in the night. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing? Jesus will receive.